Well, we are joined on the phone now by John Yust and Tom Schroeder, both of St. Paul. Tom has a cabin here near Judge Magney. They discovered a stone house in the Upper Town neighborhood of St. Paul recently that could be the oldest surviving commercial structure in the city of St. Paul. Hi, welcome to the Roadhouse.
Hi.
Hi, Ann.
Thanks.
Great to be here. Thank you.
Thank you for being here this evening. So we saw the article in the Star Tribune about the stone house, and it just sounded so interesting. How did you guys get interested in the stone house? You live in that neighborhood?
We do. John and I are neighbors and old friends going back 20-some years, and John's been here a lot longer than that. But both of us had noticed the structure. Upper Town has a number of small immigrant-built stone houses. That's the predominant building material in this part of the state. We both shared a fascination in stone houses. John had restored an 1867 Greek Revival stone house in the neighborhood that I actually rented in. That's how we got to know one another. And we both had noticed this other peculiar stone house that was a diamond in the rough, shall we say, just a couple of blocks away. And both of us had been kind of eyeing it for nearly 20 years.
So what made it peculiar?
Well, I think it had to do with the odd placement of the door and windows, and it just never seemed to quite add up. And it really didn't become clear until we finally figured out that it had been a commercial building, and then it all finally made sense.
Okay.
And at one point, you know, I really thought it was kind of a weird building, but actually now it's my favorite stone building.
And John, you're an architect, correct?
I am.
And Tom, you're a history buff?
I am. Not by profession, but by hobby. Yeah.
So the perfect combo of people to get interested in this house. So how did you decide to buy it a couple years ago?
Well, there aren't that many opportunities to buy a giant antique like this, Anne. It presented itself due to some circumstances of the owner, that an elderly woman had lived there since 1947 and was near and dear to their family. They knew that it was a historic property and had taken the best care of it they could. They actually thought through oral history that it had been an old post office, but in the preliminary research I did, I was not able to confirm that, which kind of heightened the mystery to John and I. She passed away unexpectedly, and it sat vacant for a couple of years, and I approached the family and pretty literally pleaded with them to give us the opportunity to bring it back to its original historic appearance and hopefully someday its original historic use.
That's terrific. So for our listeners here on the North Shore who may or may not be familiar with where Upper Town is, could you explain a little bit about where this building is?
Yeah. Upper Town is the highest navigable point on the Mississippi River. Before you get to Minneapolis, if you wanted to land your steamboat or barge, you pretty much had to pull off in the Upper Town neighborhood. It was the earliest settled area of St. Paul, beginning in about 1841. By 1857, when this house was built, it was a bustling small town that was separate and apart from Lower Town St. Paul. In fact, the clocks were frequently several minutes apart, and people argued over which was the better part of town for at least until the Civil War. So it's a very distinctive neighborhood. It's right on the Mississippi. It's separated from the Mississippi by high sandstone and limestone bluffs, and the stone house sits right at the top of the bluffs overlooking the river.
Mm-hmm. And I know that you've been part of the reason you wanted to buy the house is merely to see what was inside and what you found. Tell us a little bit about the things that you found inside.
Well, it's kind of a vertical archaeology project. We found lots of fascinating artifacts in the walls, particularly there's a small wood frame addition to the rear of the structure that the attic had never been finished, at least not until recent decades. And so you had generations of people's belongings and Christmas decorations, clothing, letters, photographs, a gun holster, a policeman's manual, all sorts of things falling between the stud walls down to the base of the wall, which all came out in demolition, and we carefully documented and packaged all that stuff up. And in fact, several of those clues led us to connect with some of the families that whose ancestors had lived here, and it was to cite the police manual as an example. I was pleased to actually hand that to the great grandson of the police officer who owned it in the stone house.
Oh, that must have been a thrill.
It was. It was. That's been one of the funnest parts of the project, is connecting with the descendants of the family members who lived in the house.
Mm-hmm. So, John, I know you're on the project because you're an architect who specializes in historic preservation. What other kinds of experts or researchers have you brought onto the project?
Well, we had a couple of archaeologists that have helped us, David Mackey and Michael Mattson. And through their work, we've figured out where a lot of the archaeological assets are. And we've begun to dig them, and it's just been really fun to see what kinds of artifacts have come out of the ground. We found a lot of glass, metal, porcelain glass, and pottery sherds, marbles, just all kinds of things.
Mm-hmm. John is using the term asset delicately. One of the greatest assets of the property are a series of three historic outhouses, and I'm sure your listeners might wonder why anyone would dig out an outhouse, but actually there's a wealth of historic information in particularly really early privies, and not just the artifacts, but I won't get into the parasitology of privy archaeology on air here.
Sounds interesting, though.
Well, it is, but I don't know if you want to take it. You want to take your listeners down that rabbit hole, Ann.
All right. Maybe that's for another interview. Parasitology and archaeology. I like that. If you just joined us, we're speaking with John Yust and Tom Schroeder of St. Paul. They are restoring a stone house in St. Paul that could be the oldest surviving commercial structure in the city of St. Paul. So, I think my co-host has a question here.
Yeah, I had a couple of questions. If it was a commercial building, what was the original purpose of the building? Because you said it probably was not a post office.
Correct. And this is actually one of the most rewarding aspects of this property. You know, I'm accustomed to doing historical research and local history, and lots of times it's cut and dry, and you have a fun afternoon, and you're done, and you write it up. This house has given me about 3 years of mystery and research, and it's still not completely conclusive. But let me tell you what's known. The original builder was a man by the name of Fuchs, who was a German who seems to have built the structure on speculation and leased it for use. The first occupant held a saloon license. The second occupant held a saloon license. And the man who purchased it in 1860 initially held a saloon license until 1863 before it was converted to a house. And now, the thing you need to know about doing research and early territorial records is basically the records don't exist, or very few of them remain. So other than finding these sort of ephemeral clues to potential saloon use of the property, there's really nothing definitively saying whether this was a saloon, what the name of the saloon was, how long it was a saloon, but you sort of piece together the fact that it was built right on the cusp of a tremendous financial collapse in the United States, the Panic of 1857. And this entourage of owners and occupants that come and go pretty quickly, and then very shortly after its conversion to residential use, and what emerges is a likely early territorial saloon that ultimately fails due to not only the Panic of 57, but also, and here's some more detail we probably don't have time for, but at the same time period, St. Paul is building up its roadways, and the orientation is no longer to the river, but rather along these major corridors. One of them is West 7th Street, and West 7th Street gets platted just after the stone house gets built, and the stone house is not on West 7th Street. it becomes in a residential cul-de-sac. And by 1863, when Anton Waldeman purchases the structure, it's pretty clear it's no longer a viable commercial site.
And therefore no longer a good place to have a bar.
Correct. Well, and the first two owners go off to the Civil War, and the city is depopulated once again because of the war effort, and the whole economy has changed by then.
Well, proof yet again that it's all about location, 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 and that beer and the advance of civilization do go together.
Correct.
That's so true.
You know, we laugh, but the number of parallels to the present are just, they're sometimes frightening. And, huh. and I hope the whole collapse of their enterprise isn't another parallel that John and I experience here.
Exactly. Well, where are you with the project right now? What stage are you in?
Well, we're just to the point now where we're beginning to look at things like the front stoop. One of the things that we're going to have to do is negotiate with the city for use of part of the boulevard or the public right-of-way, because the front of the building is almost right at the property line. And then we're just continuing to refine our existing drawings and also our proposed drawings.
Mm-hmm. Well, unfortunately, I would love to talk to you about this more. We're almost out of time, but what ideas are you kicking around for use of the building after you restore it?
Well, you know, we're taking it slow and doing it right. I think in large part the building is going to define its own use. I will say it wants to be a public place. It wants to be a place where people can gather.
A bar?
Have a good time.
It wants to be a bar?
If it could become a social club, a brew on premises place, an 1857 saloon, that would be wonderful. But we've got a lot of hoops to jump through before we can get there.
Well, that sounds like so much fun. And anything else you want to add?
I don't think so, other than thank you for your interest. And for any listener who's curious about the structure, you know, give us a call. One thing we love doing is showing it off.
Okay, and I also went to that website called placeography.org, and if you search the name Waldeman, which is the name of the house, there's a extensive listing and photos and stuff.
Yeah, I looked at that too. It was very interesting,
yeah.
And I was struck by the photographs, early photographs of the house, and how it actually looked a little bit like some of the earlier photographs of Grand Marais, probably 75 years later, and yet about the same kind of level of development.
One of the special photographs at that site shows the bluff before the railroad came through. So you have this wonderful connection between the river and the top of the bluff, which is just wonderful to understand and to think about the river being the highway of the day and how people easily went up and down the bluff to access the neighborhood and city.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. It was really fun to talk to you, and we wish you the best of luck in restoring that building and making it something really special again.
Yeah, good luck with excavating those outhouses.
Okay. Thank you both for having us.
Thanks for your time.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was John Yust and Tom Schroeder. They own Tom owns what could be the oldest surviving commercial structure in the city of St. Paul.